put it together. Piece by piece, only way to make a work of art. Every moment makes a contribution, every little detail plays a part. Having just the vision's no solution, everything depends on execution. Putting it together, that's what counts. Ounce by ounce, putting it together. Small amounts, adding up to make a work of art.
Welcome to Stephanie's Train Travels.
This is episode 7.
You know what's funny? When we do this, every time I ask you to say like this, you always laugh. So there's always like a positive. Oh. People can't hear me telling you to say it.
Right.
So it always sounds like, this is Stephanie's Train Travels.
This is episode 7.
So it's cool. So the last episode, we talked about your 3-day trip to Portland and 3 days back. And we talked about day one.
Yep.
So in this episode, we're going to talk about day two of each one of your trips.
Okay.
So how does your day two begin?
Day two is I usually get up at about 5 o'clock. The first thing I do is kind of straighten up the restrooms on the lower level and the restroom on the upper level of our car. And then I will plug in the coffee pot to get that going. And I'll just kind of straighten things up in the car, make sure everything's working and the towels and washcloths are stocked in the shower downstairs. And then we put on our uniform, we get ready, and by that time there's some people stirring, and we just make sure that the coffee's replenished and the beverage center is well-stocked for the folks to have their morning coffee.
And where do you find yourselves in America?
Okay, at 5 o'clock, we're usually coming into Devil's Lake, North Dakota. And it's kind of a neat place, but I sure wouldn't want to live in a place called Devil's Lake. So then after that, we find ourselves coming to Rugby, North Dakota, usually about 7 o'clock or so. And that is the geographical center of North America. That is their claim to fame.
Wow.
Yeah. And then after that is our big service stop of the day. We usually arrive into Minot, North Dakota at about 8 o'clock, and we sit there until 9:06. If you guys remember, we can never depart early. We always have to stick to the train schedule. So that's where the mechanical folks will come on, and if I have any issues with my car, they'll start working on it. Sometimes, like I said, sometimes the pipes get a little frozen out there, and the guys in Minot will come with their torch. Sometimes they have to do a little unthawing because things freeze because it's so bitter cold in North Dakota. So then they also water all the cars, the mechanical folks there at Minot, and they're going to fuel the engines. They're going to do an inspection from each and every car. It takes a while for them to water all the cars, too. We have to water all the cars, and they inspect all the wheels and just do a general inspection of the train, make sure everything's good and working. And we change engineers and conductors there. The conductors that came from Shelby, Montana, the night before, they will get back on the train. They've been at a hotel staying overnight. And then they meet us at Minot, North Dakota. And then we start taking off at 9:06 a.m. out of Minot.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, keep it going. Where do you go after that?
After that, we go to Stanley, North Dakota. We go over a great big bridge called the Cooley Bridge. It's kind of a neat scenic part of the train trip. We go over a huge bridge, and then the next station stop is Stanley, North Dakota, and it's a very small station stop, just to let passengers on and off in the coaches, and if I have anybody getting on in the sleeper. After Stanley, North Dakota, we go to Williston, North Dakota, which is going to be our last stop in the state of North Dakota. And Williston is the town where there's been a great big oil boom there. There's actually a company, I forgot the name of it, actually begins with an H. But I believe Mr. Dick Cheney actually owns that company, if I remember correctly, the former vice president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he has something to do with that company. But we always have a lot of oil workers that get on, and it's interesting when they get on the train, you could actually smell the oil on some of their clothes. Mm. So as you're walking through the coaches, sometimes they'll know exactly who the oil workers are because they have a very distinct odor from oil on their clothes. Okay, after Williston, we go to Wolf Point, Montana, which is a Native American town. There's a reservation there, I believe. After Wolf Point, Montana, we go to Glasgow, Montana. I think it's Glasgow or Malta. I kind of, shoot, I forgot which one we go to first. I think it's actually after Wolf Point we go to Glasgow, Montana. And that's a small station stop also for us, just to let peace passengers on and off. Then after Glasgow, we go to Malta, Montana. And we have a lot of people that come from Canada get on at Malta because we're maybe 60 miles from the Canadian border at Malta, Montana. After that, one of my favorite stops is Havre, Montana, because I kind of have a little relationship going on with this black and white bunny there that it lives underneath the shed. I nicknamed him Oreo. So whenever I can, I try to go over there and see my little Oreo bunny that lives underneath the shed. And
just a wild rabbit?
Yeah, it's just a wild rabbit, yeah. He just lives underneath the shed. And so every once in a while, I'll see him and I'll give him some carrots and stuff. But what's really neat about Havre, Montana, they have a great engine on display there that's permanently docked. And I always do a little announcement about the train folks that love trains. This would be your good opportunity to go check out the engine. It has a plaque on the outside of the engine, and it's huge. It's an old steam engine. And there's also a plaque there on the platform telling you how Havre got its name. And Havre, Montana, the story goes, there was two men that were arguing over a woman, and on the plaque it says something about, well, I don't want her, you could have her. That's what the plaque says on the platform about the story of how Havre got its name. And there used to be an ice cream vending machine in there, too, in the station that I used to always religiously go get some ice cream. But they took the machine away, so I don't get ice cream anymore. But Havre, Montana is also a service stop. We fuel the engines there. And it's an opportunity to step off the train for a few minutes, but we always tell people, please don't wander away from the train station. We're going to be in and out of Havre as quickly as possible. And some people, they venture out, they come back, and the train's gone. I tell them all the time, don't go on a city tour. We're not going to be here that long. But then after Havre, 90 minutes away from that station stop is Shelby, Montana, and that's where we'll change engineers and conductors again. And Shelby, Montana was famous for the Dempsey fight that was there years and years ago. They had a big boxing fight there. And I believe it's Mr. Dempsey. I think that was his name. But also something about the manager for the boxing show took off with all the money from the from the event. So that's kind of their claim to fame there in Shelby, is the boxing match that they had. And Dempsey was, I believe, the fighter, and Dempsey's manager took off with all the money. And that was bad. Yeah. After Shelby, Montana.
About what time is it?
It's about 5:30 p.m. at Shelby, Montana. And then we depart Shelby, Montana, and we travel through Browning, Montana. We actually stop there in the winter because our station stop for Glacier Park is actually closed. So Browning, Montana has a big Native American reservation there. There aren't a lot of jobs there. It's kind of a depressing place, I hear. They used to have an industrial factory, but it closed down, and they were the Blackfeet Native American folks were famous for making these pens. And I believe the factory actually closed, which caused a lot of drama, I guess, for the folks there because they didn't have any more jobs there. So after we leave Browning, we start climbing up into the mountains, and we start to go through Glacier Park, Montana, which is the most prettiest part of the train trip, really, besides the Columbia River Gorge, which we see the next day. But then we start to see the beautiful mountains, Glacier Park, Montana. And like I said, Glacier Park, Montana is closed in the winter because it's so snowed in. So we will start stopping in Glacier Park, Montana at the station stop where the big lodge is. That'll be probably May 4th or 5th we start stopping there again. And I look forward to that because it's such a pretty place, and we have so many passengers that go there to enjoy the scenery, stay at the big lodge, do camping, hiking. It's just a beautiful place, Glacier Park, and I'm looking forward to it opening again in May.
So from You pass up Glacier Park.
Yep.
And then where, what time do you, what's after that?
Glacier Park is usually about 6:30 or so. We stop there. And then after that, we're still in the park. There's a station stop called Essex, Montana, which used to be, it used to be our flag stop, which means we only stop there if we let people on and off. If there's nobody to let on and off, we continue on. And that's kind of the claim to fame for the Essex, Montana stop. And there's a great hotel there called the Isaac Walton Inn. And if you want to get away from it all, that's a nice place to go. A lot of cross-country skiing there. And they actually have an engine that they converted into a place that you could stay. And they have two engines now, actually. They have a red caboose, I believe, and a blue engine right there on the property next to the hotel, where if you really like trains, you could go stay in an engine if you want, the Isaac Walton Inn. They don't have any cell phone service there. They just have a landline, and there's no televisions in the hotel rooms. So if you really want to get away from the world and turn off all the gadgets, I suggest you go to Isaac Walton Inn. And the folks there, it's a tradition when we come through there that the people from the hotel stay out on the porch and wave to us. Mm. So I always tell That's my nice. Passengers about that. If anybody's going to come down, I'm going to open the window so we could wave to the folks, and they're always supposed to wave back. So that's a tradition that we started there at the Isaac Walton Inn.
That's a very nice tradition.
Yeah. It's very neat. Very neat place to go. Looks like a big Swiss chalet. Mm. That's how nice it is. Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And then from there?
From there, we're going to go to West Glacier, which is also part of the Glacier Park. So the next couple hours, between 6:30 p.m. and pretty much 8:30-ish or 9 o'clock, we're in Glacier Park traveling through beautiful Montana.
And so it's that large?
It's huge. It takes about 2.5 hours.
Wow.
And you're going to lose cell phone service up there. You don't have a lot of cell phone service.
Oh, no.
I know. That's another announcement that I make. I tell people, if you're expecting any important phone calls or anything like that, or you need to make a phone call, please do it before we get to Glacier Park, because you're going to lose cell phone service for almost 2 hours while we're in the park. But it's a beautiful trip. We travel along the Snake River and the Flat River, Flathead River. It's very, very pretty. Okay, after West Glacier, we go to Whitefish, Montana, and that's usually about 9 o'clock. That is actually this past trip that I just came back. We were so busy because a lot of kids in North Dakota, they are already on spring break. So we had a whole bunch of skiers that got on in North Dakota traveling to Whitefish, Montana for the ski season, which is at the Big Mountain Lodge, I believe. Big Mountain, it's called, the big ski area there in Whitefish, Montana. And Whitefish, Montana is a very, very pretty place. We travel along the Whitefish Lake, which will be on the right side of the train. And it's a big area, recreational area for skiing, for boating, for camping. It's just a really pretty place also to visit. And someday I'll stay there too. Someday. Yep.
Add it to the list?
Yep. Add it to the list, the bucket list, right?
And that kind of concludes day two? As far as people walking around, everybody kind of winds down.
After Whitefish, Montana, that's our last stop of the evening where people were able to get off the train. And then if I have no work during the night, I get to go to bed usually about 10:30 or so. I go to bed if there's no turnovers, which means and nobody getting on and off the sleeper where I have to change linen off the bed. So then I usually go to bed about 10:30. And this is the part of the train where we arrive in Spokane approximately 1 a.m. And that's where the train will separate into two separate sections. And I usually get up after we depart Spokane, Washington. We usually arrive there about 1 a.m. And we sit there until 2:45. And that's the part where we're going to water all the cars again. We're going to fuel the engines. The Seattle section of the train, which is ahead of the lounge car, they will depart Spokane at 2:15 a.m. Pacific time. And then we will sit there until 2:45, the Portland section. What they'll do is at 2:15, they'll disconnect the Seattle section, and they'll take off. And then directly ahead of our lounge car, they'll back an engine down ahead of the lounge car. So basically, when we depart Spokane, our section will be one engine one lounge car, two Portland coach cars, and then my sleeper. And then we'll depart at 2:45 and head through Washington and up through Oregon. And then the Seattle section will head through Washington at 2:15. So when we get up in the morning, we don't have a dining car. Basically, the folks in the sleeper will have breakfast out of the sightseeing lounge car, which is a pre-boxed meal for breakfast, because the dining car went to Seattle and they left us. So,
but the view is awesome.
It's awesome. Well, then we start traveling along the Columbia River Gorge. After we depart Pasco, we cross over a bridge.
That's day three, right?
Day three, yeah.
Save it for the next episode.
Sorry, I'm jumping ahead. Okay, yeah. So that's pretty much my day.
Because you say that is the most beautiful part of...
I believe...
Even though Glacier Park is extremely beautiful,
yes.
You say that the gorge is...
Right. I like the gorge because you kind of start off as a, kind of a desert area, kind of just kind of vast and beautiful. And then you travel along the Columbia River Gorge and you see orchards and wineries, and you go through all these little towns right off the river. It's very pretty. It's actually, Columbia Gorge is probably my favorite part of the trip, to be honest with you.
So on your way there, each one of the 3 days, you would say that there's some kind of geographical highlight.
Like, yes.
Every day.
Yes.
Day one, there's something that's, wow,
yes,
that's amazing. Day
right.
two, wow, that's, you know, there's one highlight.
Yeah.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah, day
that's
one is neat. The Mississippi. We travel along there. And then day two is Glacier Park. And then day three is the beautiful Columbia River Gorge as we make our way into Oregon and our final stop of Portland.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned for episode eight. We'll
episode
talk
eight.
About day three.
Okay.
And, yeah. So now is the time where you...
train terms.
Yes.
I'm ready.
Talk about some of your train terms.
I've been studying. I wrote them all down yesterday. Okay. The first train term is the caboose. It used to be the last car on the consist, and now the cabooses have been replaced by automatic detectors. So caboose is a train term. And then the other train term is called the grade crossing. That's a place where a road or a highway crosses the train tracks at the same level. So we have one caboose, train term, and then grade crossing is the second one.
So it's not a bridge, it's not elevated,
nope.
It's actually the
same.
All the cars in the train are all on the same level.
Yes.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Do people wave at you? Is there a waving tradition when you... I mean, you guys are going pretty fast, so it's
yeah.
not like you could see each other waving.
So, well, sometimes when we're crossing, when we run into the other Empire Builder, say we're going west, and the other Empire Builder train going east, sometimes we have to go into a siding, and sometimes I'll peek my little head out the window and see if any other crew members on that train are waving to us. Because sometimes we stop right next to each other sometimes, and so I'm always peeking out the window, seeing if I know anybody. After 28 years, I pretty much know most of the conductors and the engineers and the other crew members that are coming back home. But it's always fun to... there were a couple times where people were being jokesters. They were throwing a roll of toilet paper out the window at us. yeah, they thought it was funny. But we always try to keep a good sense of humor out there. You know, we're all together for 6 days, and you know who the crew members are that you could joke with quite often and mm-hmm. Stuff.
It's nice.
So,
keeps
yeah.
it light and
yeah.
keeps morale high. And
yeah.
And why not? You're seeing some of the best parts of America, and you get to be together and share meals together, and
yep.
you know, being
yep.
in, you know, it's all very, very nice.
It is. Very lucky. I love my job, you know, it's just very fun to always meet new passengers. And I was telling you a little while ago about how my past trip, I met a lady that is going to New York for a convention. And she's going to send me a postcard from the United Nations. So that's exciting. I don't have one of those yet.
Another member of the Peeps.
Yeah, the Peep Club, the Postcard Peep Club. Then I met another lady. She was from Hong Kong, and she's going to send me a postcard from Taiwan. So I gathered up some more Peeps on
nice.
This past trip to send me postcards. Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
So this will conclude episode 7.
Episode
and what
7.
Would you like to tell the people?
I leave Monday, this coming Monday, which is the 19th. I leave Monday, I go to Portland, and then I come home next Saturday. So if anybody wants to go on a train trip, come on out. I'll be looking forward to seeing you.
Look, I've spent a lot of time working on this.
Look, no one's
going to
buy it.
No one.
Well, how can
nobody in Middle America anyway, that's for sure.
He's right.
Well, why?
Sweetheart, it's just not commercial.
What is commercial?
It's not what's selling nowadays.
I mean, personally, I
love
it.
Nice girl.
Nobody's into this kind of material.
You have to pay a price, girl.
This album needs a hit single we can push.
They like to give advice, girl.
The whole idea's too risky.
Don't think about it twice, girl.
The audience won't understand this kind of thing.
It's time to get to work. I disagree. Why don't you wait till you hear it?
This is like your old stuff.
Art isn't easy.
We gotta appeal to the kids.
Even when you're hot.
Why would you want to make an album like this anyway?
Advancing art is easy.
I think we ought to talk seriously about
financing
this.
Financing it is not.
Why take chances?
A vision's just a vision if it's only in your head.
Nobody respects your artistic integrity more than I do.
If no one gets to hear it, it's as good as dead.
You have to think about your career.
It has to come to life. Bit by bit, putting it together. Piece by piece, only way to make a work of art. Every moment makes a contribution. Every little detail plays a part. Having just the vision's no solution. Everything depends on execution. Putting it together, that's what counts. Ounce by ounce, putting it together. Small amounts, adding up to make a work of art. First of all, you need a good foundation. Otherwise, it's risky from the start. Takes a little cocktail conversation, but without the proper preparation. Having just the vision's no solution. Everything depends on execution. The art of making art is putting it together, bit by bit.
We really need all these musicians.
Link by link, making the connections. Yes, we do. Drink by drink, taking every comment as it comes. Learning how to play the politician like you play piano, bass, and drums. Otherwise, you'll find your composition isn't gonna get much exhibition. Art isn't easy. Every minor detail is a major decision. I have to keep things in scale. I have to hold to your vision. Cocktail conversation, if it kept the funds for your foundation. Every time I start to feel defensive, I remember vinyl is expensive.
Now would you agree to do an interview?
Maybe one. By that, building up the image. Shot by shot, keeping out a distance doesn't pay. Still, if you remember your object and not give all your privacy away, a little bit of hype can be effective, as long as you can keep it in perspective. Even when you get some recognition, everything you do, you still audition. Art isn't easy. Trends at an end, you're suddenly last year's sensation. All they ever want is repetition. All they really like is what they know. Gotta keep a link with your tradition. Gotta learn to trust your intuition while you reestablish your position, so that you can be on exhibition. So that your work can be on exhibition. Be new girl, they tell you till they're blue girl. You're new or else you're through. Bit, putting it together, piece by piece, working out the vision night and day. All it takes is time and perseverance, with a little luck along the way. Putting in a personal appearance, gathering supporters and adherents.
Well, she's an original.
Was.
Mapping out the songs, but in addition, harmonizing each negotiation, balancing the part that's all musician with the part that's strictly presentation, balancing the money with the mission till you have the perfect orchestration. Even if you do have the suspicion that it's taking all your concentration, the art of making art is putting it together, bit by bit, beat by beat, part by part, sheet by sheet, chart by chart, by track, by bit, by reel, by pop, by stack, by snip, by shot, by shot, by stack, by shot, by shot, by down. And that is the state of the art.